It's time for the Rink Rats. With your hosts, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace and Jesse Granger.
Rink Rats, Ryan the Hockey Guy, the athletic Jesse Granger. Not the athletic Jesse Granger, he is not an athlete. He's a beer league goalie, and that's basically not an athlete, right?
Hey, come on.
That's basically not an athlete.
I sit in front of a net. They
shoot but you don't like. You're not out there creating scoring chances. Like, you're not back checking. You're not fore checking. You're not doing any of the hard work. Hard work.
Is Marc-Andre Fleury an athlete?
Yes.
Come on, he's like the best athlete.
He's
on the team.
He's in the NHL though. You're not in the NHL.
Well, I am an athlete to my peers as he is to his peers.
Jesse Granger with the Athletic. Is that so? Have you asked Pierre LeBrun? Is that how he introduces himself now in scrums?
Yeah, I didn't ask him.
You didn't ask him that?
Like, no. I've been around
with
Pierre.
Jesse
Granger with the Athletic.
Jesse Granger
Pierre LeBrun
Athletic.
With the Athletic.
So we've got some special guests in the studio.
We do.
So this was set up by the Athletic. It was set up by Jesse Granger. He was the one that booked our guests. So I'm going to let Jesse throw the introduction out there. Leave everybody in suspense for just a few more seconds.
The pride of Saskatoon, right?
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, close.
Saskatchewan,
yeah.
So the whole
Hold on. So hashtag suck at Granger already.
These guys have only been in Vegas for 2 days, and they already are familiar with hashtag suck at Granger.
Yeah, we want to know the origin story, but, you know.
It's funny that you bring that up, because we were talking about the origin story kind of before you guys got here today, and I was a little bit foggy on it, which is sad, because I'm the one that's kind of the biggest backer of the Suck It Granger hashtag, but
the movement.
It's nice. Centered around Jesse being the most optimistic reporter in town about the Golden Knights' inaugural season. Jesse reported
predicted
that the Golden Knights would go 5-5 in their first 10 games in franchise history.
At the time was asinine.
Aggressive. They're supposed to finish last.
Historical accuracy, right, you were probably the most optimistic person out there.
100%. Probably. 100%. So Jesse makes this prediction. And ends up getting called out because they went 8-1-1. Somebody on Twitter chirped Jesse, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, remember when you said they go 5-5? You're so stupid, right?" So a bunch of buddies, Jesse, me, a few of our friends, kind of saw the tweet, and we circulated it to each other. And the comment up with the picture was just hashtag Suck It Granger.
And then it just went like caught fire, yeah. And then he pushes it.
I push it all the time. Anytime I have a chance.
And then I love antagonizing the fans. Like, it's my favorite.
Oh, you're
part
a troll.
Reporting.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I like watching hockey. I like getting to travel the world to watch hockey games. I like getting to interview players in the locker room.
Oh yeah,
but
just
none
don't
of that
rub it in for everybody.
Yeah, none of that compares to antagonizing the fan base.
Like you just not being able to help yourself 5 minutes into that game when Flower makes the first save. Those pads, they're impenetrable.
No, it did not take me 5 minutes.
Nine seconds
into the game, they iced the puck, and I tweeted out, 9 seconds of shutout hockey with the gold pads. And I immediately got 6 responses. Don't say the S word, hashtag suck at Granger. Yeah.
So where do you guys fall on the gold pads? I think they're fantastic. The Athletic hates them.
No, first off, Jesse, I cannot wait for the T-shirts. Hashtag Suck a Granger. Yeah. We'll buy 2 immediately.
Okay, absolutely.
That's 2 you've pre-sold.
Yeah,
just be easy on the shipping up north. The gold pads for us, they're iconic, and we actually view it more as like a golden wheat.
Now,
flavor.
Saskatchewan is the breadbasket of Canada. We grow a lot of wheat. Golden wheat fields cover the prairies, and Marc-Andre Fleury did it as a shout out to Saskatchewan. You know, and they think it's a Vegas thing, and I think that's part of it. Sure, we'll give some credit to that.
So do you think that he did it for you guys specifically?
No, we actually don't believe in coincidence. I think he did it without knowing, but it fell into this bigger narrative of breaking the curse and putting the Knights back on their win streaks.
So you guys broke the curse, right?
Yeah, you guys came down.
This is the first game you've attended this season.
Yeah, so the last game that we attended was when a curse was put on the Vegas Golden Knights when Braden Holtby, who's from Lloydminster, Saskatchewan, our home province, made the save.
You guys remember? We're all familiar with that emotional scar in your stomach. It was lucky,
but remember, they were coming back
game. That no save that a goalie ever makes is lucky.
Greg is also a beer league goalie anyway.
I'm there all the time, and I'm like, the guys are like, great save. I'm like,
Exactly.
My eyes were closed, but I was there.
Like, let's be real. Ryan Miller, that was not a skill save last night save? With his head.
Can he dove across? That was amazing.
In what dimension is that skill?
He had to put himself there in his defense.
I can tell you, I could not have dove across the net. So, you know, there's skill, you know. So, Braden Holtby makes a save, and ever since then, we saw the Golden Knights grip the stick way too hard because they were brilliant in the playoffs. Even game one, it was a little bit, but a little bit nervous. They played good, and then game two, they were starting to come back, didn't work. And so, since then, they've been getting tons of shots, but they haven't been able to finish because of the curse. And so you need two Saskatchewan boys to come in and break the curse.
Yeah, so we trekked down here knowing that it was important for us, you know, to be a part of this season. And last night, there was a number of things. We have a video coming out that kind of documents the things that happened. The goal pads were a part of it. And sure enough, what happened last night, you watched a return to form of the Golden Knights crushing the Ducks 5-0. People might say they're not a formidable foe. That doesn't matter. We had roast duck last night and donuts this morning for breakfast. All is good in the world.
Did you really eat duck last night?
No, I would have loved it.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been impressive, yeah.
But you're right. It did look like the old Golden Knights.
Yeah,
not just the score, the two-on-ones, the fast breaks. It felt like last season for maybe the first time this year.
It was the transition, for sure. Like, three goals in transition for the Golden Knights, for me, was kind of the big point there. Max Pacioretty looked pretty good. He looks like he's starting to kind of turn that corner, becoming the player that we thought we were going to get in the offseason. And Alex Tuch, I mean, Jesus, can we just talk about Alex Tuch and how good he has been for the Golden Knights since coming back from injury?
Yeah, he looks good. And McPhee, I don't know if he looks better than Tuch does for signing that contract.
Oh, it's one of those contracts where you start looking at it and you're saying, well, maybe if in the beginning it's a little bit of an overpayment, it's okay because for what he projects to be, it's going to be an underpayment by the time it's done. It might just be right on the money when Alex Tuch starts that contract next year. Like, he might be worth every penny, and then it's just going to increase in value over time.
Alex Tuch hates himself for signing that contract. I mean, he's the best player on the team right now. Right now, yeah. Alex Tuch's best player on the team.
Hold on, he's
going to be underpaid for the next 7 years.
Does Alex Tuch hate himself for signing that contract more than William Karlsson hates himself for signing that one bridge deal?
For betting on himself?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not fair because that's assuming William Karlsson had a long-term deal on the table that he chose not to accept in favor of the short-term deal, which is not the case.
Well, and guys, we're not even 20 games into the season yet. Yeah. Karlsson will pick it up.
You
Relax.
Know what? I think it's actually fair. The best person on the Golden Knights, based on what I see in practice, is Nate Schmidt. And it's interesting to see the difference. And I don't know the difference, but they're having fun again. And you see him on the ice. He's a leader emotionally. And it seems like everybody's starting. Like, fun is what brought them to the top last year was they went out there, they were the Golden Misfits, they were having fun, and watching practice, I don't know, it seems like, especially today, they were having fun.
Yeah, seeing practice and Ryan Reeves leave the stretches and people having a blast out there, I'm like, we're starting to relax. And then last night, before they came out of the tunnel, before I even saw the weak Golden pads come out, there were smiles. There were smiles in the alley, and they were, you know, body checking, having fun. And they normally body check and have fun, whatever, in the hall, but there was like a level of, hey, guys, just go out there and play your game. And I thought, okay, this is promising. And then sure enough, they did it.
I will say they've done a very good job of, and Nate helps it so much, but they have done a good job of not getting down. They seem themselves, even through, during the worst stretches they've had, like a couple, three losses in a row on the road. I've been on the road with them, and they seem pretty the same guys that they were last year. They've been very good at kind of keeping it even keel.
Well, I think they believe in themselves. I think they believe in what they can do as a hockey team, and at some point they know it's going to turn around. When you miss your top defenseman, that hurts. When you start to get decimated by injuries, that hurts. But if you continue to kind of go back to what made you successful last year, you should find something. In that last night's game, it's against the Anaheim Ducks. Okay, well, the Ducks are not a great team.
What?
They're not a great team.
Oh, yeah, right.
They're garbage.
They're awful.
They're John Gibson and then some guys.
The
right?
AHL.
I'm not gonna go that far, but they're
it's
pretty
embarrassing.
Bad. But you get Schmidt back in a game. That's like if you can kind of use that as a springboard. Mm-hmm. You can use that performance. If you get that out of Alex Tuch, you get that out of Pacioretty, you get that out of Cody Eakin, and we'll talk about Cody Eakin in a little bit. And then you get that top line going back to what they were doing at the beginning of the season, where they're the only line scoring for this team.
Sure.
Then you start to string some wins together, especially with seven of the next nine against divisional opponents.
And people forget this, that all W's are the same letter, right? Whether it's the Ducks you beat or the Penguins you beat, doesn't matter to me. Those guys have some confidence now and go, like in that room today, you guys felt it.
Yeah.
They were having fun. They were relaxed. Like, hey, We did it. We got the win back. And the rink last night, the fortress was pumping. And people were like, yeah, this is our team. And yeah, like, is every year going to be as dominant as last year? Of course not. There's a different story being written. But it's like what you said about like the hope. And if they believe in themselves and they're putting pucks on, well, in the direction of the net. At some point, at some point, you make a few tweaks and it starts going in. All you need is a lucky bounce to kind of change
things. Last year was nuts at how every moment that they needed to score a goal, they just did. Yeah. And it feels like this year, every moment they need to score a goal, they just haven't got that. But then, like last night, Eakin's backhand bar down on that. Like, you're like, he's not going to, he did just score. Like,
Cody Eakin. Like, we're not, this isn't just anyone that did that. Cody Eakin.
So here's a funny little story about Cody Eakin and last night. So Jesse joins us on the pregame show. I do the pregame intermission postgame show for the Golden Knights with Frank Harnish, who I also do a show with, Vegas Golden Knights Insiders. Jesse joins us on pregame, and Jesse's talking about Cody Eakin. And he throws out, Cody Eakin is not a top six player. He's not a number two center. He's not that in a perfect world. Like, I get what he's saying, right? Makes sense. Well, Cody Eakin goes out there, has the game of his life, at least the game of his Golden Knights career, and a caller calls in after the show and just berates Jesse.
I wasn't even there.
He just calls in. He's like, for those of you talking about how bad Cody Eakin is, maybe Pacioretty sucks too. And so I had to like talk this guy down off the ledge when, hey man, we just won a game. Like, you just won a game. Like, calm down. It's okay. It's okay that Cody Eakin did well tonight. It doesn't mean that Pacioretty's awful. Like,
and it doesn't mean that Cody Eakin's a top six
player. It does not mean that.
You'd rather him be on your bottom six
Were you at all surprised that the hot takes of, if Cody Eakin continues to do this, when Stastny gets healthy, there's going to be questions. Were you at all surprised that it happened last night?
I'm not surprised because people are prisoners of the moment. And they...
Ooh, that's a good line.
Wow.
Can you say that again?
Can you tell he's a writer?
Cody Eakin in an ideal world is a great third line center. You don't want Cody Eakin to be your second line center. You want Paul Stastny, and for him to be the Paul Stastny that you hope he is, to be your second line center. And then you've obviously, Belmar is a perfect fourth line center. He fits that role so perfectly. William Karlsson, you hope he gets back. In an ideal world, Cody Eakin is a third line center. Now, right now, he has to play second line center for an extended period of time because the injuries. That's awesome if he steps up and fills that role, but like, that doesn't mean, Paul Stastny is a third line guy now. Like, you still want, like, in a night, like, to be the best version of the Golden Knights, it's Stastny, Pacioretty, and Tuck on that second line.
Yeah, and I think that I want to come back to the whole idea of you saying Cody Eakin wasn't good enough and then he was. So he gave a suck at Granger himself.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
So that's number two.
Yeah,
I just want to cover that off for the podcast.
I think the players understand that anytime they can stick it to Granger, it's
exactly. They probably told him, "Hey, Eakin, Granger, so give him the suck at Granger tonight. Fine, I'll score two goals." You know.
Did you see the Reeves when Reeves tweeted at me?
No, what he said.
Yeah, so I did a story. I did a story last week about Ryan Reeves' beer company.
Right. Oh yeah. You messed up the name because you spelled the letter or number instead of
So to defend myself, I'm verbally speaking with him.
Yeah.
I ask him, what's the name of the beer company? He told me, I'm not releasing it yet. I'm like, come on, man, give me something.
Yeah.
Like, give me a little scoop for the story. He's like, all right, 7-5 Brewing. I'm like, perfect. That's all he said, 7-5 Brewing. So I'm like, okay, number 7, number 5, Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Like it is on his jersey. Yeah. That's obviously why he named it that. So I write the story. It's in the headline, 7-5 Brewing Company. Then he quote tweets my tweet with 7-5 Brewing Company. But I'll give you a pass for now. And then, like, if you go to that tweet,
I saw a few suck at Grangers come up.
All
from that.
The responses are just, did Reeves just give him a suck at Granger?
Yes, he did. Yes, that's three now.
No, it's great. It's great.
Reeves also tried to knock my coffee off the glass yesterday.
Well, it's probably because of all the shit you talked about Ryan Reeves when he first got traded to the Golden Knights.
Isn't it funny how the swing? I remember we were here for first or second game after he was here. Last year, and how many people were, he took a couple bad penalties and people were like, it was the worst trade of their life. And now we're here, we ask people all the time, who's your favorite player? Who's your favorite player? He's in the top three all the time.
Yeah. And props to Ryan Reeves for recognizing that role, the enforcer, it was kind of going the way of the dodo bird and he needed to evolve. And now to see him in front of the net on a power play.
Yeah.
Like, and this guy's a blast. And even like, in practice doing tip drills the whole time, he's evolved. If we get 15 goals or even 10 goals out of Ryan Reeves this season, that is a plus for the whole team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that line is unreal. Like, they're so fun to watch.
I will never forget last season during the playoffs, he was practicing that tip drill. Like, for 20 minutes after practice, he's still doing it. After everyone's off the ice, there's like three guys left on the ice, he's still doing it. And then, like, 3 days later, he tipped it in Winnipeg to send him to the Stanley Cup final. I'm like, all those hours for this one moment paid off.
He's a worker, you know. I think that when you look at Ryan Reeves throughout his career, the fighting is a part of it. The heavy hitting, the hard nose style is a part of it. And you get him in the right situation with the right players and the right coach, and you bring something out of him. I commend him for coming in and having a really rough stretch. And he said it last year. He's like, I wouldn't have played me.
Like, when they benched him in the playoffs,
he's like, I wouldn't have played me either. Yeah. I was not playing well. And the way that the Golden Knights practice, and he talked about it at the time, he's like, everybody, regardless of whether or not you're playing, if you're a healthy scratch, you're going through all the drills too. So you're learning the system as you go. So for Ryan Reeves, I think the practice is really where he kind of got comfortable with this team and what was expected of him. And I think that's just one of those situations where you've got Gerard Gallant understanding that these guys need to be 100% ready when they get called. And Ryan Reeves went in there, and again, as we've said with everybody on this team, took advantage of an opportunity and came up with some of the biggest goals in Golden Knights history.
Yeah, it was neat because Ryan was actually up in Saskatchewan because his brother Jordan plays for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, our pro football team, and we had a chance to chat with him. And one of the things I asked him about was, like, what's it like playing for Gallant? And it's cool to hear from a player how much they appreciate him and how much they love him and his style. And I, you know, that's neat, especially for a guy like Ryan. I think he's gotten opportunities that he wouldn't have got somewhere else, and he's proven that he's up for the challenge.
Yeah, Gallant is the ultimate player's coach, and he's the ultimate player's coach even more so for that style of player in Ryan Reeves, because Gallant was that style of player. And I think, like, I remember when he had those two rough games, and Reeves took what we thought were some bad penalties, especially his second game that was at home against the Kings at T-Mobile. Yep. And I remember the post-game interview, and we were basically asking Gallant, like, hey, so that was an awful penalty, right? Like, shouldn't have done that. And he basically was like, no, that's exactly what I want him to do. And Gallant said, Reeves came to me after the game and apologized, and I told him, there's nothing to apologize for. That's exactly what I want you to do. And, like, that's probably unique for Reeves. I mean, Gallant's not the only former kind of that type of player, gritty player, most coaches that are former players were not that style. They were more intellectual, like more high, like scorer type guys. So I think Reeves and Gallant connect on even a higher level than Gallant does with other players. Yeah.
We were there for those interviews, and I remember being in the locker room after those penalties. People were asking him, like, hey, you might line up against LA in the playoffs. Yeah. What do you think about that? He's like, I would love to play LA every game for the rest of my life. Like, he was heated, and I think someone said afterwards, oh, he probably shouldn't have said that. And it killed me as a fan and a content guy when it comes to, you know, social and hockey to go, I finally get some personality from an NHL player and you want to crucify him for it? Like, come on, guys, give me more of that.
I think we used that clip on the show for probably 3 or 4 days straight because I love the emotion. I love the honesty there from Ryan Reeves, and, you know, he's absolutely right. You want players that want to play in those big games, and the guys that shy away from it and don't necessarily want to get into that territory are usually the guys that don't show up. So it's no real surprise to me that he's the guy that scores the goal in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It's really not.
And the first goal in the Stanley Cup final, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe it was the first one. He definitely scored in the game one.
It was consecutive goals, so it was the one to end Winnipeg and the first one in the Stanley Cup final.
So you guys mentioned his brother plays up. Do you guys know his brother at all? Have you done anything with his brother? Like, I know you guys
We've contacted him a few different times, but no content pieces really with Jordan yet.
Yeah, it's actually wild connections, though, because Jordan's, I'll say partner, I don't know what their status is, but she races NASCAR. In NASCAR, and so it's kind of a funny connection. I know she'll be down in Florida. I don't think she's here for Amber Balkan, but it's kind of like this weird, wild, crazy family. We were there that night hanging out with, like, the whole Reeves and extended crew. Family and kids, and, you know, it's nice for us because they're from Province over, they're Prairie kids. They're, you know, very relatable to who we are. So
yeah, and we loved it too. Amber's just like, hey, do you guys want to cover NASCAR? We're like, yes. Yeah. So then we talked to, you know, our fans about it. People from Vegas are like, hey, I have a NASCAR connection. And it's just kind of like you have this family growing, and yeah, the Reeves are just a huge part of it.
I don't think people here appreciate enough how special the hockey scene is here. Now, and you guys would know from traveling around, going to different arenas, but even from, you know, there's people here like, oh, I've only ever been to a hockey game in T-Mobile, and they assume that Canada would be even crazier.
Yes.
Because Canadian hockey and different things. We're like, no, it's so boring because everybody is so uptight about it. And for me, I'm not the most in-depth hockey person. What I love is I love the stories and I love the entertainment and I love the realness of it. And when it all becomes about the game, you actually miss something. And I feel like lots of times in our markets, it's just, it's all about the game. And what happens between whistles is nothing. Like it's very, it's just mailed in an organ playing dun, 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 you know, and it's special here.
If you're listening to this and you've never been to a Canadian hockey game before, you... T-Mobile is a better experience.
Yeah.
The whole lower bowl in Canada, out of any market there, I call them suits. They're all corporate seats. So people buy up the seats,
yeah,
and they send someone, and they go for a period or then leave, or they don't show up at all, or they're on their phone the whole time. Like I lived in Calgary for a long time, and I remember seeing so many people on their cell phones. We'd score, the upper bowl just goes and roars,
yeah,
and the lower bowl is just like...
Oh, wait, just a second. I got to
exactly,
take this.
Yeah.
And so, but T-Mobile is, right now, it's a fan base of fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's an entitlement that comes with success and legacy that these Canadian teams have. And I wish and I hope and I pray that the Vegas Golden Knights fan base never becomes entitled. And that's why I love so much the fact that you guys haven't had a sports team here in 100 plus years, like a professional one.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's such a rawness to it to say, like, we're so just thankful that we can cheer for you. And then I used the example today about like the Yankees or the Atlanta Braves are even better example. When they're in the playoffs, they can't sell out because they're like, yeah, well, we'll be in the playoffs again next year, so or next round or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's special, and fight for that as long as you can because it could go away at some point.
So okay, we probably should have started with this, but
yeah.
I want to know how two guys from Saskatchewan become vague, and like you've obviously become more than just fans because you're trying to spread the word in Saskatchewan and make the Golden Knights, the official team up there. Just how does that come about?
I wish it was maybe more planned than it should have
been. We're not good planners, so definitely yeah. That would be a straight up
so
lie.
We were wanting to start a podcast. You know, we have a Facebook Live show and we've done lots of videos. We're like, we want to spend more time talking a little bit more in depth about stuff. So we're like, who should we interview for the first podcast?
Yeah, we did like around Regina, Saskatchewan. It's a small pool, right? So everyone's used everyone there before, and we thought, okay, we don't want to have someone necessarily local, someone interesting, but we don't feel like we have access to a Brad Pitt or a Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. So who would be someone mid range that we would find interesting and our fans would find interesting?
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, the Vegas Golden Knights exist, and they've got this really quirky and wonky personality for their Twitter feed.
Yeah,
and we thought, oh, this is very, very different for the NHL. I want to know what's going on behind the scenes and how they had the courage to kind of do this.
Yeah, because we're marketers. We have marketing. We worked at an agency. And so we love the idea of talking like marketing and different things. And so we're like, there's no way two guys from Saskatchewan are going to be able to talk to, you know, this person. But we thought, why don't we try? Because that's what we do. So
yeah. So I found out who it was. At the time, it was Dan Mraz. It was the senior writer. I reached out to him on LinkedIn. And he got back to me 2 weeks later and said, like, oh, Greg, so sorry for getting back to you so late. And I was like, oh, good. He's apologizing. This is good.
A good start, yeah.
And he said, like, hey, I can you do the interview off the record. But if you want on the record, you have to talk to my boss, Eric Tozzi. And we're like, oh, okay. And he gave me his email. And I was like, Justin, we have the contact for the communications VP at the Golden Knights. Like, this is a cool opportunity for us. What do we say to Eric to get his attention?
Yeah, and so, because he sent an email and he said, guys, like, can you tell me more about your outlet? And we're just like, you know, we're on Facebook. Like, you know, like, we're just like, it's different than there's like, and we're like, we could fudge some numbers and make the stats seem good. But I'm like, let's just show him. And so I came up with this idea of, like, we do videos. Let's go make a video about... And I had this idea, Saskatchewan, we don't have our own NHL team there. You know, we produce more NHL players per capita than any province in Canada, you know, but no NHL team. On our borders, we have Calgary, Edmonton, and Winnipeg, but they all look down on us because we're the smaller province. And I'm like,
Vegas
we need,
had the most Canadian players outside
Vegas,
of Ottawa at the
other
time.
Other than Ottawa, more than any Canadian team, we have direct flights to Vegas. It's so cold in the winter, like minus 40. We all go to Vegas anyway because it's warm. It started to go like, this makes sense. Let's push for the Saskatchewan-Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, we said, like, we're not going to have our own team, realistically, with a population of, you know, just over a million people for the province. And these guys don't want us to the west and the east. Yeah. Like, they don't care about us. They're like, yeah, cool, you can be a Flames fan, whatever, just be quiet. And we're like, wait a minute, what about Vegas? And so we did this video saying why we think Vegas should be Saskatchewan's team. And we put it out, and it went ballistic down in Vegas.
It's
especially.
Actually, it's a wild story because a friend of ours, his wife worked in a small radio station
Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin with a guy named Wayne Danielson.
Big D.
Big D. And so she had sent him the video, and he thought we were making fun of them, and he shared it anyway with like a snarky response. But then it just went nuts, and Big D's a good friend now. But like the
He's
wildest
great.
Like small connections that launched this video to 100,000 views, and we basically sent that back to Eric, and we said, this is what we do. And Eric was like, cool, go ahead and interview
Dan.
So at the time, did you guys ever expect that you'd be doing a hype video for the Stanley Cup Final?
Honestly, that is beyond our wildest dreams. Like for us, just getting access to interview Dan for the podcast was where we thought this story was going to end, until Vegas people started getting a hold of us and being like, guys, we love that you're a part of it. And for us, it was like, wait a minute, this fan base is actually extending an olive branch to us to say, guys, we fully accept you.
And I think there was this idea in Vegas that, oh, a Canadian province cares about hockey and Canada loves hockey. And they're probably like, there's probably 50 million people in Saskatchewan. And there's about 1.1 million, you know, so it's maybe not the largest like province, which is like a state, but they started following along and the story just kind of kept rolling. And then we had a new premier, which is like our governor, elected, and we somehow convinced him to come on our show in the basement of my house, which was awesome. And he came on the show, and his name's Scott Moe. He let us call him Scotty Too Hottie, and he played, I don't know if you have this Bean Boozled game where it's jelly bellies, but one flavor is like coconut and the other one's like spoiled milk, and you don't know what you're going to get. And he like played
that
this live.
Horrific.
Yeah, it's awful.
Why would anyone play that?
We played live on Facebook. It was a tradition on our show. He got dog food, and like he's picking it out of his teeth. It was bad, but in the end, we showed him the Vegas Golden Knights jersey, and we said, hey, would you make this an official thing? He's an Oilers fan. He didn't say no.
Yeah, so. He's like, hey, you know what? It has some merit. I'm not going to say no, but, you know, we can talk about it later. And so we were like, whoa, like you didn't say no.
Yeah.
And so at that point, we're like, okay, we don't, like, it's the idea is not dead.
Yeah.
We have to make a trip down there.
Yeah.
And so we tried to get a sponsor. It fell through. We decided we're going to commit to go because the Vegas fans were like, guys, get down here. Yeah. Come. This is in February at this point. Mm-hmm. Come be a part of this.
Yeah, and the original video was done in November, far before, I mean, they were off to your great 8-1-1 start, you know, which is was good.
Suck it,
but it was still, exactly. But it was still early, you know, like it wasn't like people were still saying they're going to finish last, you know.
Of course.
So, but, you know, and so we took a trip down there. We flew into LA. It was back to back nights. So that was Reeves' first two games. Yep. You know, we flew into LA and then drove through a snowstorm in a convertible Mustang back to Vegas the next day. And when we came back, we're like, this is amazing. And we had documented the whole things in videos. And we thought we need to do a press release for our local media because we had NHL media passes, which was special that the organization gave us and this whole thing. But then Greg was like,
we need to do a petition because media loves petitions. So we did a petition to make it official, and we got, you know, I think it was 100, and we sent it out to the media. And they're like, hey, this is great. They started covering it. And Justin's like, why don't we do Vegas media? They might like it too. And that was really the linchpin for us when the Vegas media took it and went with it and actually went to the Golden Knights and said, we need a statement on this.
Yeah.
And the Vegas Golden Knights released a statement that basically said, if a Canadian province wants to adopt us as our official team, we're all for it.
Yeah.
And that for us was, okay, this is real. Like we're going one all chips in for, you know, a bad cliche on this. And I will say this, it was the fan base. And this is the hardest time for us to communicate. It's not necessarily the team, it's the people involved, the fans in Vegas. Because everywhere in the world when you talk about Vegas, you think of strippers and the strip and gambling casinos. And that's what we're trying to not convey, that this team is bigger than that. It's about the people in the city of Las Vegas.
And the people of Vegas are not that. Like there's 2 million very normal people here. And in some ways, Saskatchewan, people hear about Saskatchewan, they think we're farmers or inbreds or rednecks or, you know, like it's very, they just think rural people.
Yeah.
And there's obviously way more happening there. And so that's what's a cool connection. And some other cool things is the Golden Knights called us and they said, hey, Chance is coming up to Saskatchewan, because they were actually the whole Humboldt Broncos, you know, bus crash, and they were taking the coach's wife down here and they weren't saying anything about it, but we had Chance for 2 hours. And so we ended up saying, hey, bring a jersey for the premier. And then Gainer the Gopher is the mascot for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, which is a religion in Saskatchewan. And so they flew jerseys up there, and, you know, it was special.
And people always ask us, like, are you guys serious about this? It doesn't make sense. And I would take polygraph after polygraph at this point. And it would have actually shifted once we put the video in November and we realized that Vegas was like, no, you guys, you can be a part of the franchise we waited 100 years for. Come, share it with us. It was the most endearing thing in the world to us.
Yeah.
And so from that point on, it was like we are through and through, and we've been campaigning person by person by person to make it happen.
And the sentiment that you have right there is that it's this team is so much more about showing the world what Vegas is.
Yes.
Right? It's so much more about this is something for Vegas to call their own, to prove that Vegas is not just a strip. It's just not a bunch of hotels. It's not gambling. It's not this or that. It is a community, a thriving community of people that care about things, that take their kids to the park, that have families, that grow families here. And that fan base that we've seen over the course of a year plus has been an accepting fan base.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, it's nice and refreshing that there are people in Canada, a province in Canada, that wants the Golden Knights to be successful and doesn't want them to just relocate to Quebec.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was interesting, even in like Stanley Cup final, I don't know if you guys talked to fans of opposing teams, but they talked about how respectful and nice the fans were here to them, which is not always the experience going into other markets. And I think that just speaks really highly of the people. But I
hospitable
think
hospitable because they're used to
exactly
tourists coming into their city.
Yeah, letting people in.
Yeah, it's something they do. Like that is Vegas. Yeah. Not now. You talk about there's a lot of normal people, but a lot of people work in the service industry here, in casinos, in restaurants, and that's what they do is bring other people in and make them feel welcome.
And I think the team has actually played the perfect balance of not saying, oh, we're not that Vegas. They're going, we are that Vegas, but we're also this Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, from the golden pads and all the little things that it's a tribute to.
Or
this
the
is
showgirls for warm-up.
Yeah, exactly. On the opposing team side.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those little things that go, this is part of who we are, but this is just a part. And we're so much deeper and more rounded.
And just a few more things. What we realized, too, we would come to the games when the Humboldt accident happened. People here were giving out stickers and ribbons to everyone. And it was like, whoa, like you're returning the favor to us. And obviously it would end up being a global thing. Mm-hmm. But there was 55-year Vegas residents who were bringing Saskatchewan flags to every game. Because they're like, you guys want us. And we love that. And for us, it was like, it is beyond, like it feels like blood now at this point. And so when we went down 3-1, that video was, that hype video was, it was from our hearts.
Yeah, it wasn't, people are like, oh, the team got you to make a hype video. No.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Okay, so for those that weren't at the game or don't know, these two guys filmed just them screaming, and it's like basically what a coach would yell at his team to get him ready for a game. And I saw the video online, and then it ended up being showed on the Jumbotron before Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. When you filmed that, did you have any idea that it was going to end up on there?
No, I love loser teams in sports. Like the Atlanta Thrashers was my team, and that, you know, rest in peace, Atlanta. And I fell in love with the
rest in peace.
the Boston Red Sox used to be losers, and that's how I fell in love with them, was they could never win the big game. And so when they went down 3-1, we watched every minute of these games. I text Justin and said, we need, this fan base is not used to this. They're not used to being discouraged because all they've known this year is success. Mm-hmm. And all I've known my whole life in sports is failure. And I thought, we need to do something to encourage them. And so I texted him and said, I got a video idea. And so we wrote this script, found the perfect music to it. And then I kind of shared the vision with him the next morning. And he caught it and said, we're doing this. And so that morning, you can tell if you watch the video again, you can see that we had just woken up.
Yeah.
Like it was early in the
literally
morning.
Literally, it was like he got over at whatever, 8:30. He read the script to me and with the music. I was like, let's do it. So I did a quick setup of the video and then we filmed it that morning and put it out that morning because we believed in it. And I think that's, you can see in the video, it's not just like acting. It's that we believed that we could come back, and it just went nuts. Like I don't know how
I get emotional every time I watch it to this day still.
Couple hundred thousand views it got in no time. And then we got an email from the Golden Knights organization saying, we've been sharing this throughout the office. It's changing the atmosphere here. We want to use this as the intro, which for two boys from a small city in the middle of Canada to have Johnny Greco, the VP of entertainment for the Golden Knights, say, I want to run through a brick wall right now. This is exactly what the city needs, was pretty darn special. And then we couldn't be there for the game, but then to see all the tweets and everybody just, I had a friend who was there who had no idea, brought seven, he's a Caps fan, so I don't want to say his name, but you know. Anyway, he's sitting there with seven buddies, and suddenly he's sitting there, and I'm on the screen, and he's just like, what is going on? They didn't call the Backstreet Boys, didn't call Cher, it's Justin and Greg,
You guys went from not thinking you could interview the person behind the anonymous person behind the Golden Knights Twitter to hyping up the arena at the Stanley Cup final in like 4 months?
Yeah. It is the wildest story. And then last night, you know, we're breaking the curse, and this video is going to be so fun. To start the game like that, go 5-0, and then to be doing a bit with Cameron Hughes, Cameron Cheers, the t-shirt guy, to being able to, my dream of mine was like, I hope someday I get to crank that siren, you know, before a period, and we got to do that in the third period. It's just like, it's beyond words. And have people who are like, can we take a selfie with you? And it's just, what?
It's the most surreal thing,
yeah,
obviously, in my entire life. And I don't take it for granted. Yeah. Every day I go, there's no way this story makes sense. And if you're listening to this now, you're like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. But it happened, and it's still happening. Like, we're serious. Like, today we interviewed the Golden Knights players, asking them to ask our premier to come down and visit. And we're pretty confident it's going to work.
Yeah.
But, like, it's still going. It's not just a one-time thing like, oh, yeah, you know, we lost the final, let's move on, Vegas. No, we're here. And that's part of what this trip was about was, listen, we pay for these trips on our own dime, and so that's why we're late. But we got here, and we'll come back, too, because this actually means something to us.
And it's a bigger story for us of this idea of, and I think people here would get this, too, of nothing needs to be impossible. Hey, it was Welcome to Impossible. That was the story of last year. But kind of no matter who you are, wherever you are, that it's not impossible. Like we like you said, with 4 months we went from, I don't think we have any hope of interviewing this guy who runs a Twitter account, to being on the Nitron. Like, that's not just unique to us. Like, we didn't do anything so special or random, or it was just, we just went for it. We just like, let's just try. And that's, you know, when we got our NHL media credentials for the first time, it's old hat for you guys. We were lost. We had no idea. We found the door and we walked in and we're in jerseys and I've got green beads on,
Going to Mardi Gras.
Hat, and like, we're just like, but in some ways, like, this is just who we are. Like, we just want to go have a good time and we're asking ridiculous questions, but we just want to have fun. Like,
but again, coming back to how cool Vegas is, we walked in to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
And the first person we saw was Big D and Bruce, the in-game announcer. Mm-hmm. In-game announcer?
Yeah.
And they were both like, Justin and Greg, we love what you guys are doing in Canada. And for us, it was like, oh, like these are our people. This is our family here. And we're not just strangers. And we're not just trying to create something for views on the internet. It was like, no, this is bigger than us.
So what is the landscape of Justin and Greg and the Golden Knights moving forward? Like, what are your plans for this marriage, so to speak?
We need our premier to come down and visit, right? Like, we have the entire backing of the city, the media, mm-hmm. the Golden Knights franchise. Now the players are all saying, get down here for a game.
Yeah.
And up in Saskatchewan, the media, they want it too. Mm-hmm. And so we've actually had off-the-record discussions with the premier to say, like, hey, is there a way we can make this work? And we're confident it's going to work. And so for us, that is the next step, is bringing him down here for an experience. And then from there, then there's actually a lot of pressure on him to make things happen.
So they're not the official team of, they haven't done that.
They currently have not made it. The premier, he had the jerseys. There were some challenges. They ran into Winnipeg, which we have this thing in Canada that when your team is out, you cheer for the last Canadian team in the country.
Oh, it's trust me, I knew. Covering the Western Conference Finals last year, there was twice as much media covering the Western Conference Finals as there was the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. Because Winnipeg was the only Canadian team left, and there was like 700 Canadian reporters at these games from every city in Canada. And then as soon as Winnipeg lost,
they're all gone. Yeah, exactly. Playoffs are over.
Yeah.
We were all over the media during that series, and we were fighting against the current because we're saying, no, Saskatchewan, the last team is Vegas, not Winnipeg.
Vegas Golden Knights, because there were more Canadians. There were way more Canadians on Vegas than there were on Winnipeg, and we had all these things. Well, so you have that, and also one of the ministers in in our premier's cabinet, his name is Cheval Dayoff, and his brother owns the Winnipeg Jets.
No, he's a GM.
Or general managers of the Jets. And so That was
it was a very hard sell. And you get no politics. You kind of have to.
Exactly. Like they're in that, and then they go to the final. Well, there's a number of key Saskatchewan people, from Braden Holtby, who's a goalie of the Capitals, to
remind me. He got traded. He's no longer there.
There was another player, and then somebody in management. They were all from Saskatchewan, so it was kind of in a tough spot. But I think the thing that
you guys got Braden McNabb, though.
We do have Braden McNabb and Kelly McCrimmon.
And
both, you know, both from Saskatchewan. So it was 3-2, but it's still this idea of this is bigger than hockey, and that's why we need him to come down here and experience this. Mm-hmm. It's not just about a team. It's not just about a game. It's not just about players. It's about this community is coming around saying we love Saskatchewan as a province, and I don't know if you guys know, it gets really hot here, and we have beautiful summers back home, like 80s, 90s, hunting, fishing, 100,000 lakes. There's football. One of the best craft beer cities in the entire world is Regina, Saskatchewan, consistently. You know, the craft beer scene.
You had me at craft beer.
You know, we've got restaurants from the original winner of Top Chef Canada is in Saskatchewan. Food, like there's stuff to do for you guys to come up here and be a part. And you know, flights go both ways.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, everyone in Saskatchewan should escape to Vegas for the winter, and everyone in Vegas should escape to Saskatchewan.
Exactly.
So basically, we should just create one city of 2.2, 1.1, 3.3 million people live in this city.
Exactly.
We live here in the winter. We live here in the summer.
We'll call Elon. We'll get a Hyperloop. Put in between.
Elon?
Yeah. He lived in Saskatchewan for a little bit.
Oh, really? Elon Musk?
For a little bit. Yeah, it's a crazy story. So,
I like this. Nothing is impossible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So everybody.
Vegas, screw all these New York and LA.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Vegas to Saskatchewan is what we need.
So everybody tweet at Premier Scott Moe and say, you need to get down here because we need to start laying the groundwork. We're going to be, I don't know, it might be out by the time this podcast gets out, but we have this video of Saskatchewan trivia where we ask the players a number of really, really weird facts.
So funny.
Wildly, they seem to get them all right. So
I had no idea they knew Saskatchewan so well.
So maybe Braden's been coaching them. We don't know.
They're as obsessed with Saskatchewan as you guys are with Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels very mutual. So
it's all Braden McNabb. Yeah. We know that's what it
is. Hey, we're excited for Braden to get Schmidt back on that pairing because they make each other good.
So do you think that's what happens? Because we've actually had these discussions before. I have this crazy... It's probably not going to happen because what Gerard Gallant has shown us is that he doesn't like to make crazy changes. He likes to stick with what has worked. So it's probably going to be Nate and Braden.
Yeah.
But my crazy pairing was I want Nate Schmidt with Shea Theodore and just have the fastest, most offensively minded pairing out there. And then because Colin Miller and Braden McNabb are doing great together right now. And you can move them down to the second pairing. Now they're not going against the top competition. It lets Colin Miller get a little more offensive. It lets him be more Colin Miller instead of he's kind of taking a defensive role. But yeah, so do you guys think Nate goes back with Braden as soon as he gets back?
I think the solution is it both can work.
Sure.
I love the fact, and even talking to them today, I think that Nate and Braden like playing together. We actually asked them, hey, you guys are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. Who's the peanut butter? Who's the jelly?
And asked them both separately, and they both agreed. Braden is the peanut butter, and Nate is the jelly. We just got...
Is there an explanation for that?
Jelly's flashier,
the sweeter, and then peanut butter just kind of anchors the whole thing. Yeah. It's a protein, and I mean, it's one of those things, watching them last year where...
Watch out
where
for protein.
Nate can be Nate at his best when he knows Braden has his back playing the defensive game.
Yes.
You know, and that feels to me is like, is he knows he can pinch, he knows, and Braden is going to have his back. And so, you know, we love that pairing. I mean, I love pickles, but peanut butter and pickle sandwiches are weird, you know, and so...
Who's the pickle?
Well, I, you know...
Okay, the only flaw is that you've got then Derek Englund and Nick Holden as a pair.
Brad Hunt.
Okay, you've got Derek Englund.
Brad Hunt.
And you've got Nick Holden. Okay, but in reality, you've got Derek
Englund. You can't
Englund.
Tell I like Brad
Hunt. I'm just saying you've got Derek Englund and you've got Nick Holden. Like, that's your third pair.
No, one of them is scratched for Brad Hunt.
No, but at the end of the day, you've seen teams that have won with two elite defensemen. Right, like remember the Ducks going to the Cup with Pronger and Niedermayer?
Yeah,
you only needed two guys. They played 35 plus minutes a night.
That's
fair.
What Shea and Nate could do.
Yeah,
and then you've got McNabb, Miller, which obviously have shown they can play really well. That third pairing doesn't have to play that much, and it can be Englund and Hunt.
Yeah, if you give that third pair a role to do, like your job is just to stop this guy. Just don't let this line score, especially when you're playing at home and you get the matchups.
Yeah.
You can make that work. You can.
So how confident are you guys?
100%
right
confident.
Now in the Golden Knights to turn this around and get themselves into a playoff spot, probably over the next 15 games.
We and this is where we become maybe unobjective in your eyes. We have never doubted. Like, we've never doubted the fact that this is going to be different than last year, and it already has been, and it sucks that we're missing two centers. Like, that stings.
Oh, and the number one D-man.
Yeah. Right? Like, that sucks. But, okay, Schmidt comes back on Sunday, and we had talked at the beginning of the podcast about Cody Eakin, and can he be the number two? He doesn't need to be the number two. He needs to be the number two right now.
Yeah.
Right? And I love the idea of just filling a role for a period of time. Hey, I need to cover this for a little bit. Cool. I'm going to fill this in. And then I'm going to relax and come back to my normal role when the next person comes in. It just needs to be next man up. And we've seen it work with so many teams. And I love the mentality of this team.
I was just going to say, because I'm going to try and sound smart. I'm not. But Corsi didn't match his team last year. And it really hasn't matched his team as well either this year, right? And that's kind of the thing people go by is there's these intangibles. And when we were down to our fifth string goalie and still finding ways to win last year, you know, that was the magic. And this year, I think, again, it's finding that extra magic that goes, okay, we're missing these players. We're going to find ways to win games, to score those goals at those key moments when we need to score them and give ourselves a chance. And I could see this team, you know, coming in 7th, 8th, and then making some noise with the momentum. We've seen that before. I feel like Anaheim would always do that. They would say, keep them on up. I used to be a Canucks fan for years.
Woof.
And it was like every year the Ducks would sneak in at 7 or 8, and they would just destroy the whole way through because they were a playoff
team.
The Kings
of the
season. Yeah, Kings,
And because they have goaltending. Jean-Sebastien Jaguar was the reason. Like, the Ducks were awful. They just had him back there. He'd stop 70 shots against the Red Wings. I think it actually was 70-something.
It was something like
it was 70-something.
He won the Conn Smythe that year.
Yeah, and he was amazing. And the Kings, Jonathan Quick, same thing, turns it on. And the Golden Knights, you saw it with the Predators. The Predators were the 8 seed 2 years ago when they went to the Cup Final and lost. And it was because Pekka caught fire. You need a goalie that can do that. The Golden Knights have the goalie that can do that. He showed it last year.
Yeah. And let's remember, guys, we're in the Pacific Division. Right?
Like, also known as
that's
AHL.
Unequivocally, the worst division in hockey. Yes?
Yeah, it's not a good division. It's not a strong division. There's a lot of transition happening in that division.
Yeah.
I think on paper, our team is actually stronger than they were last year. On paper.
Yeah, when they're healthy,
they're healthy. That's what I mean. Like, if you put that team together on paper, you look and go, wow, this team is actually an improvement over last year.
We said that before the season started. We thought it was a better team.
We're right there.
100%.
And so to be where we are, given what we've been through, with two centers out and a number one D-man out, to be like, you know what? We're one win away, I think, from 19 points and being like tied for a playoff spot in the division.
This team never got a proper start to the season to gel. You know, with the injuries and new players coming in. And there was that blip last year where those back-to-back skin games, you know, Reeves is in, Tatar's in, and they like, what? They kind of like, they fumbled into the playoffs because you've got to rebuild that chemistry. And this team hasn't had that chance. Schmidt's over in Europe. You know, you got all these people gone and the chemistry, they haven't got that good bond. And I think once they figure that out, I think it's a different season.
So, unfortunately, there's some time constraints on my end. So
your kids got to skate and like
and my kid's probably on the ice right now. Right,
you're
now.
Missing it. What a horrible father.
I feel terrible.
Jesus Christ. Like, Jesse, way to make me feel like an asshole. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. No, she's doing a Christmas recital, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
And she hadn't skated like so. This kind of. The radio job is a little bit new for me this year, just as a full-time thing. So we didn't have her skate for the last couple of weeks. I end up going on Saturday, and the director over there, his name's Vasily. He actually works with Dustin Brown. He's skating coach for him. And he walks up, he sees me, he's like, your daughter, she's doing the Christmas thing, right? And I'm like, I don't know, man. She hasn't been on the ice in like 6 weeks. I feel like a terrible parent, right? And he's just like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. She has to be on the ice. Like, there's no Christmas recital if she is not on the ice. So I feel pretty excited about that. She's pretty awesome. She's
pretty
a great
cool.
kid.
That's awesome.
Skates well. She skates better than Granger.
Yeah.
Says the guy who has. When's the last time you played hockey?
It's been a while.
Last time I played hockey was not last night, but the night before that. So
It's been a while. I skated on Saturday.
That's
skated.
Good.
Getting there. We've got to do that
more,
charity.
That
game.
Could be more recent than us, actually.
Just, we're the Canadians. We have to be quiet.
We skate all
you guys,
the time.
Don't you guys skate like from your bed to your kitchen?
Exactly. That's how we get get our groceries on our skates.
Like, in all honesty, this has been probably one of my favorite shows. It's been fantastic talking to you guys. Hopefully, we can just do this again. Either you call in, we talk to you up in Saskatchewan, or the next time you come in, please feel free to let us know. We'd love to get you back in studio and just continue this conversation because it's been fantastic.
Absolutely.
We're there. We're there.
Yeah.
What are you working on, Jesse Granger?
Oh,
the
man.
Athletic?
Jesse just Granger? Came from a 50-minute conversation with Nate Schmidt.
It not was
absolutely outstanding. You can't talk to Nate Schmidt for 50 minutes without – you can't talk to him for 2 minutes without him giving you something amazing. So just think of all the amazing things he gave me in 50 minutes. That's going to be on The Athletic. What, this comes out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow.
It's out. It's on The Athletic right now. Go to The Athletic and read the story of Nate Schmidt spending a month in Vienna, Austria. It involved him running into a circus on accident in a scooter. It also involved him wearing lederhosen and going to Oktoberfest.
Oh, no.
And him in the Swiss Alps. Wait, all that in one story, Nate Schmidt. It's outstanding.
Wow. That's coming out at what time tomorrow?
It'll be like 6 a.m. our time.
Damn it. So I should put this out at midnight tonight.
Just to screw.
That's five.
Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Yeah, so yeah, go read that. It'll be awesome. Like I'm so pumped for that story just because Nate Schmidt's awesome and it's just such a unique thing. He turned what is an awful, probably the worst thing that's ever happened to him in his life into an awesome experience. Probably became a better hockey player and had a bunch of fun. So it's a cool story.
Wow. And Justin and Greg, where can people follow you, find you if they don't already here in Vegas?
At Justin and Greg on all channels, Instagram, Twitter. I guess it's / Facebook.
Facebook.
We do a Facebook live show all the time.
Just search Justin and Greg. You'll find us there. There's going to be, I've been probing this out, some fun pieces of content. You can see how we broke the curse. There were so many things that happened. That'll be on Facebook and YouTube. And yeah, who knows? Saskatchewan Trivia is coming out again with featuring Nate Schmidt, who is the best interview in the NHL.
I was howling.
Sure.
Actually, he had everyone in the room howling at his answers, like you obviously know.
Yeah.
He's just like, give him a platform and he'll shine. So.
That's awesome. You can follow me at Ryan Hockey Guy on Twitter. You can hear me Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, and all Vegas Golden Knights pregame, intermission, and postgame. Again, thank you guys so much for coming in. We really appreciate the time.
Thanks for having us, guys.
We'll see you tomorrow at the game.
Yeah, we'll be there.
And
we'll be there.
That will be another win, I think.
More donuts.
It will.
All right, thanks,
More
guys.
Donuts. Yeah.